time to get started tonight. Good to see everybody back on Sunday night. I understand it's raining outside again, so we can use the rain, but maybe it'll get away from us when we get out of here so you get home all right. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's all get a hymn book and stand together. Brother Tim, come to lead us in a song.
All right. We pick some up-tempo songs tonight. 485, This World Is Not My Home. 485, everybody, stand and join us. Sing together now.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't be left home in this world anymore. For Lord, if all, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my my Maker pardoned me, and now I offer gold. I know you'll take me through, oh, I am weak and poor, and I can't be left home in this world anymore.
Oh, anymore, I have no friend like you.
If heaven's not my home, and Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be left home.
This is intermission time. We're going to have our band, our orchestra, play a verse for us, and we'll come in on the chorus. Go ahead. Enjoyed that so much he wore himself out. All right, remain standing.
All right, they sort of quit all this there. Looked like they were back and going to sit down or something. All right, let's go forward in prayer and ask God's blessing on the service again. Good to see everybody here. And Brother Ralph Hale, how about Brother Ralph, you lead us in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you. We pray that you hear us once again if we might get ourselves together to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for the blessing you give us throughout the week. We thank you for the blessings today, for allowing us to get up with that desire in our heart to attend the church, Lord, and to worship thee, Lord. Lord, we pray that I bless each and every one that comes this way, the special blessing. May we be closer to thee as we depart from this place tonight than we were when he came in, Lord. Help us, Lord, to serve thee, for in thou would be pleased with us. We ask these things in thy holy and precious name. Amen.
All right, you can be seated. And again, thank you for being here tonight. And you know the announcements. We'll spend time there. You know about the Wednesday night service. 7 o'clock, of course, be right here. And then Thursday night, or Friday night, is our Bible study at 7 o'clock at our home. And so please be sure and come and be part of that with us if you can. Everything else in there you know about. Pray for Brother Don Lemoy, the Dunn family, Ms. Gladys Hunter, B.J. Kirchinger, my sister-in-law, Ms. Ruby Smith, many others. Brother Bobby's doing well. He's back in the pulpit now. Brother Dean Powers had to go back into the hospital again for some pneumonia. He's really having a very hard time getting over this surgery, the heart surgery. I mean, his heart's doing fine. It's everything. He had those blood clots. He's had pneumonia twice. This is the second time. And he's just 58 years old. I thought he was a little older than that. He was only 58 years old. And so pray for Brother Dean Powers in Grundy, Virginia. All right? and several of the folks on the prayer list here we want to continue to pray for, as you see, and we appreciate you doing that. And so don't forget about all these things. Choir, thank you for coming tonight. Good job. I appreciate our choir. I really do. And if you're not singing in the choir, you ought to. Somebody said, well, if we sing in the choir, there'll be nobody to sing to. Well, you come on and get in the choir. We'll worry about that other stuff. But if you want to sing in the choir, we want you to sing in the choir. I'd love to have 30 or 40 voices in the choir. And we appreciate the work. Brother Tim does such a good job.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
Give him a hand. I think he deserves one. Well, I was going to mention her too. That's very humble of you. we appreciate Ms. Jen and of course Steve and John, all of our musicians here. They like to get wound up and then sit down when they should be playing, but other than that, they're doing all right. We appreciate our. It's not a band. It's just, I don't know what you call a group. I guess I don't ever want to get to that band stuff because then that leads into other things. But anyway, I appreciate that. And John, Brother John, was there any more of those CDs left of yours? I didn't know if you wanted to bring them over here and leave them for folks to get. But anyway, I saw some folks had them this morning. Had brought some or had some for whatever reason, and I want to remind you again, if you want to hear a really good, just good piano music, Brother John James,
yeah,
is as good as it gets. I'm telling you, his CD is wonderful, and he's just basically giving them away now, aren't you? And I appreciate him doing that, but if you want to hear, if you just want to have something you can play and just enjoy, it's not, you know, everything, I guess everything's out of the hymn book, isn't it? Most of the songs out of the hymn book, He told me one time when he made those, he did it all in one take, didn't he? Now, that's very unusual. If you've ever done a choir album, I've done a couple of choir albums over the years, and it'd take two or three days to get through 9 or 8 songs because, you know, it takes one little misstep and all of a sudden you got to stop and start all over again to get that thing recorded. But Brother John's able to do the whole thing. How many songs are on that CD, by the way? 24, 26 or something? There's a bunch.
20.
To do 20 songs in one sitting and do it all in one take. And some of the songs you played out of the hymn book first time, didn't he?
Well, I knew him, yeah.
But I mean, he just opened the hymn book, started playing it, didn't practice beforehand, just played it, got it on the CD, and it's wonderful. And so if you get a chance to get that, you ought to, okay? All right, so I think that's everything, Brother Tim. Let's have another song.
All right, 183, Come and Dine. 183, let's stand again as we sing.
I did.
What?
you. If you find your place, we'll have the ushers come on. We'll take care of the evening offering. So come ahead, ushers. Let's go ahead and take care of the offering tonight. All right. Ryan, you got it over there, all right? Okay, buddy. All right. Got it, boys? All right. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing. Amen, Brother Robert. That's all right. That's all right. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's a great joy to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Lord, we thank you for the rain. We surely do need it. But Lord, we're thankful that we're inside now and we're in the house of God. And you said, as I mentioned this morning, where two or three are gathered together in my name. And Lord, in a crowd this size, I expect at least two or three are gathered in your name, but I believe many more. And Father, that's why we're here. We didn't come to be seen. We didn't come to be heard.
Yes.
We came to be part of the worship service and to show the Lord how much we love Him.
Yes.
How much we love you, Jesus, by our faithful attendance in the house of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless this service tonight. Thank you for this morning. We thank you for the good crowd. We want to pray for Sister Kathy Chalmers, who was here for choir practice but got very sick on her stomach and had to leave. And I hope she'll be all right tonight. But I appreciate him making the effort to come. I appreciate others. I know Brother Ed's had a little back trouble, but he's here tonight. I appreciate that. I know you'll honor folks that do that, Lord. And I pray that you'll be a special blessing to them. Now bless the offering tonight, the gift and the giver. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do in Jesus' name.
Getting ready to sing, let me say a word. First of all, I appreciate Brian helping me out on Wednesday nights. A lot of you have noticed I've been missing on Wednesday nights. I almost made it this past Wednesday. I've got seasonal work, and I thought, well, I'll go to my mom and dad's, take a shower, and didn't happen to keep adding more work. But I appreciate Brian stepping in and helping out. And also, you don't know what he can do with music, I don't think. I don't think everybody appreciates this, but I've worked with a lot of musicians. Brian has a great talent. He's got a good spirit. He always picks a song with a message. Listen to him now as he sings for us.
You know, we kind of throw the words around sometimes, tell people we love them. But if we're being honest with ourselves, a lot of times when we say we love somebody, what we really mean is, I love you as long as you're good to me. Or I love you as long as I have something to gain by being good to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that God's love is a love that's unconditional.
Amen.
No one deserved to be loved less than we did. But the Bible says that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I hope you get a blessing out of this song. This world had made for me.
Bible's ready, Pastor. Come in.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that song. I'm glad he loved me anyway. Aren't you glad he loved you anyway?
Yes, amen.
I mean, considering what we were and what we could be, he loved us anyway. And I surely do appreciate that song. Thank you, brother. All right. Let's see here. Find my thing here. 1 Peter this evening, the book of 1 Peter. Chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. Familiar verse of Scripture to many of you I know. I want to preach for just a few moments on this thought. What kind of people make up the body of Christ? What kind of people make up the body of Christ? Now, in the text and in the context of our verses, he's talking about the body of Christ as a whole. Sometimes we refer to the body of Christ and we usually will throw in the word local body or local assembly, meaning the local church. And I am a local church Christian. I believe in the local church. Amen?
Amen.
I believe Jesus instituted and God instituted the local church for the New Testament time. Now, I'm not necessarily against any other kind of ministry, but whenever it takes away from the local church, I don't think it's right.
Amen.
I'm not against a radio ministry or even a TV ministry, as long as it doesn't take away from the local church. And what I mean by that is, you know, there are many programs on where they are a local church. They just happen to be nationwide or even worldwide in some respects. I think the problem that I have with that is very simple. Number one, if you need them, they're not going to come.
Mm-mm. That's right.
Because they're thousands of miles away somewhere, perhaps. And again, the Bible said go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So I'm not against using television or radio or internet, any of those things. I listen to WTBI just about every single day at home. And they're in Greenville, 2.5 hours away. And most of the preachers up there are from that area. Men that I know, but I don't get to see very often because of the distance between us. And most of them are local church programs where it's a local church from there, and that pastor does that program. And so they're in their churches on Sunday. They never ask for donations. They never ask for money in their program. And so I appreciate that kind of ministry. They're getting the gospel out. They're paying to have it done. But they do not diminish the importance of the local church. And I think the local church is not only important because God ordained it, I think God also ordained that a Christian belong to a local New Testament church. And that means be a member. You don't hear much about that anymore. You don't hear me. A lot of folks, that doesn't seem to even be an issue to some people. You know, they want to go to church, but they don't want to put their name on the dotted line, as it were. They don't want to be a member. And I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. I think if you find a church that you like and it helps you and feeds you, that's where you ought to plant your family. Amen. Right. I think that's where you ought to throw out your anchor.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And so I believe in the local church. But notice what it says, 1 Peter chapter 2, it's page 1312 in your Scofield Bible. Actually, we're going to start reading in verse 9. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Now, I want to stop right there a minute. There are some who, there's one in particular, the Latter-day Saints, who preach the priesthood of the believer, but they misuse it. But I want you to know that this is a Bible doctrine. Before Jesus came, the high priest was the mediator. Mm-hmm. When Jesus came, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, all of that ceased.
Right.
When the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, it opened up the Holy of Holies, or where God is, to the common folk. Mm-hmm. When Jesus died, He is our great high priest. Mm-hmm. The Bible said in Hebrews that He's a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who was the Old Testament king of Salem and the high priest during the time of Abraham. And so He is our great high priest. He is our go-between between God and man. The Bible calls Him a mediator or an advocate. But He is our great high priest. But as a child of God, when you and I got saved, we were given the spirit, the God-given right. I'll say it that way. The God-given right through Scripture to go to God directly. Or we go to God, usually we pray something like this, you know, our Father, and then we always end it in the name of Jesus Christ. Or in Jesus' name I pray. Because He is the go-between. But we don't have to go to anyone for God to hear us. That makes us, when we got saved, we became prophets, priests, and kings. We're prophets in the fact that we're to witness. We're priests because now we can go to God ourselves. The Bible said we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We have that right in the Word of God. And then we're kings because we have royal blood flowing through us. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. And now God says we are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means in the worldly vernacular, we are princes and princesses. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. We have royal blood in us. So we are prophet, priest, and king. And we have all of those attributes through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through the denomination. It's not through some work. It's through salvation by grace through faith. We don't offer that as a perk for being a member at Anchor Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. God offers it as a right as you become when you become a child of God. Mm-hmm. So the Bible said, Paul said, or Peter said, we are a chosen generation and a royal priest. So he really encompasses all of it. A royal priesthood. And holy nation, a peculiar people. Let me say again, if you have never wrote this in your Bible, you should. The word peculiar does not mean strange, mm-hmm. although we are. The word peculiar there means purchased. Mm-hmm. We're a purchased possession. The Bible said you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. That's what that word peculiar means. Now, our life should be strange to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the world ought to be strange to us.
Amen.
So in that sense, we are peculiar. We ought to be strange. We ought to be indifferent to the world. Because they're certainly indifferent to us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If they weren't, we'd have a lot more folks here.
Mm-hmm.
The sad thing is, there are even some of us royal priesthooders
mm-hmm.
who seem to be a little indifferent
mm-hmm.
about being a purchased possession.
Right.
You know, I'm going to belong to God as long as it suits me.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I could preach right there a while, but I'm not going to now. Notice what he said. He said in verse 10, which in time past, I'm sorry, let me go back to the rest of verse 9, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. Before you were saved, you didn't belong to this crowd. He said, you weren't those people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Mm-hmm. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, now that's your life. That's not just your talk, that's your life. That's the way you live. Now it includes your vocabulary. It includes the way that you talk. But it also includes the attitudes behind the way you talk. It includes the way you carry yourself on your job or at school or wherever it might be that folks can know. Now, they may not just point at you and say, there goes a Christian, but they ought to be able to at least have that opportunity. Right. And so our conversation, it says, honest among the Gentiles, the unsaved. That's the reason why I believe not only is a local church important, but a local church ought to have a good testimony among the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
We have to listen. We have to deal with the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Brother Barry told me that when he builds our church, that he's got certain standards. But you know, the people he hires or the subs that he hires are not all Christians. Andrew was telling me just yesterday about, you know, the job he has, and the man that owns the place he works at is a Christian. But everybody that works for him is not. I'm glad Andrew is. But everybody that works for him is not. And those that they work around. Andrew told me, he said, Dad, you'd be surprised at some of the things that I hear, you know, going on the job sites. Well, listen, I remember that many years ago. I've been in the ministry now for a long time. But before that, I was in public work, both in public labor, intensive labor type jobs, and then in management. And both times, listen, it's bad both sides of the aisle. It's bad on one side just because it's just in the gutter. On the other side, it's just in the gutter with a suit on.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, that's true. I dealt with that. And so I understand our conversation, the way we present ourselves, ought to be honest among the Gentiles. That's why I believe we ought to always pay our bills. I've said this before, and I mean this with my heart. If I have to get a job, I'll go get a job, be a bivocational pastor before we'll ever let any bills go bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I get paid. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've done it before, I'll do it again. The Apostle Paul, for a long time, made tents while he was in the ministry because he had to have a way to make money for himself and also to give to the ministry. I believe that's right. We ought to. Anybody we deal with, they may not like one thing about what we preach. They may never darken the door of our church, but they ought to never be able to say they're a bunch of deadbeats.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. That's right. And he said, so he goes on to say that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, and they're going to, they may be your good work. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So it's important then that God describes not only the kind of people that make up the body of Christ, but how they ought to act. But I want to deal with the first part of that tonight. On what kind of people make up the body of Christ. Now let's just think for a moment about the local church as well as the body itself. What makes up the church, the body of Christ? Well, number one, it's made up of transformed people.
Mm-hmm.
Saved folks, amen?
Amen.
A lot of folks belong to a church, but they don't belong to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though we have a standard here that if you're going to be a member at Anchor Baptist Church, you've got to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There's a lot of times when people tell you that, and it ain't so. I'm sorry, pardon my English. It's not so.
Mm-hmm.
Not so is right, ain't so preaches. Amen? Either way, it's right. There's a lot of folks who will join a church and not be saved. There's probably millions of church members around this country who, if the rapture were to come right now, would be left sitting right where they're sitting.
Yeah.
That's sad, but it's true. But the church is made up of transformed people. Then I want to say, Brother Tim mentioned this a moment ago. I believe that the body of Christ is made up of talented people.
Mm-hmm.
Not just singing and playing that he mentioned. But just all kinds of talents. In fact, the Bible also describes them as gifts. I'm glad that the body of Christ is made up of people who are talented, who have gifts. And it doesn't have to be the gift of singing or the gift of playing an instrument. It can be the gift of helps. It can be the gift of encouragement. It can be the gift of service. I mean, there are a lot of gifts. And I'm glad that the body of Christ is made up from the little toe to the top of the head with people who are talented. Because everybody can't be up front, but everybody can use whatever they have for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Old Brother Barry, his dad, Barry Sr., told me, he said, "Preacher," said, "I don't sing." He said, "I can't carry a tune in a bucket." He said, I don't play an instrument." He said, I don't sing in the choir." He said, "I go to church." He said, "But I can build." And he said, "And so when a church calls and says, 'Can you help us?' I say, 'Yeah.'" And I'm telling you, I've seen some of his work in other places. Does a good job. I'm excited to see what he does with ours. Amen. But that's a gift. That's a talent that I do not have. Mm-hmm. I don't have that talent. You better thank God I'm not the contractor. I'll tell you that right now. He come by the house yesterday, and the first I caught myself, I knew I'd do it. He called me yesterday and said, "Preacher, I'll be by at 5 o'clock my afternoon to bring the pigs." I said, "Okay." All day long, I thought, "Don't say anything about it ain't big enough." Mm-hmm. I'll be doggone if he walked in the door. And he looked at me and I said, "Can I ask you a question?" And he grinned at me. And before I could, he knew what I was going to ask him. He said, "It'll fool you." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You're fixing to ask me about how big it is." He said, "I'm telling you, it'll fool you." I mean, he caught me dead, man. I was guilty. I said, "Brother, I have to ask your forgiveness. I'm guilty. I said I wasn't going to do it, and I did." But the point being that that's a talent that they have that I do not have. And there are some. Now, you know, I don't necessarily call preaching a talent. Because if there's no call, then the talent is wasted. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in any way to be self-aggrandizing. I'm just saying that there are some people who can orate and who can preach. Mm-hmm. But there are some preachers out there that get way bigger crowds than I get. Mm-hmm. That I'm not sure even know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's the point. It's not that you have the gift of speaking, but the gift... Ooh, boy, that came out wrong, didn't it? I think I'm losing mine too. I think my voice is changing. I always wanted to sing first tenor. Wow. That even surprised me. Amen. Let me get back on this thing. We'll have to shut her down right now. The church is made up of transformed people, talented people. And then I want to say that the body of Christ is made up of trustworthy people. People that you can count on. I didn't say perfect people. I said trustworthy people. Somebody that you can count on even when they make a mistake. You can count on them to rectify the problem, fix it, and then go on. And I'm glad that not only in the body of Christ, but in this church, there are many, and many of you are sitting right here tonight that I can say that I consider to be trustworthy. Not perfect, but trustworthy. Transformed and talented. Now, here's the problem. I thought, well, you know, I guess I need to present the other side of the coin. And so you think about some in the body of Christ who are trifling. They nitpick everything. I mean, if my glasses were crooked, they'd find fault with it. You know, if one side burns longer than the other one, they'll get offended by it. There are just some folks like that, amen?
Yeah.
And I told you what Judy said, if we had a church with five in it, two of them would be goats. Amen. I mean, you think about it. Because Satan is always going to put his trifling crowd in there. Amen. And then I believe there are some in the body of Christ who are troublesome. They just... You know, it seemed like trouble follows them. You know. And then I wrote this down, and I hate this, but it's true because I've experienced it many times over the years, not just recently. But there are some in the church who are just plain old turncoats. That's right. They'll lug you to your face and stab you in the back.
That's right.
And I'm sorry to say that's in the church.
It
sure is.
Yes.
It's sad to say. And by the way, God knows who they are.
That's right.
If we never know who they are, God, but you know what? You'll find them out. You know, their conversation in Christ is not where it should be. And so you find it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying that in this body of Christ, whether it's in the body of Christ as a whole or in the local church in general, we have these kind of people. But I'm glad that I can count on you to be that first group.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
And be careful when Satan tries to tempt you to be in the second group.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Because that's nothing but danger to you.
Right.
Now let me give you real quickly a couple things on what kind of people make up in the text. Look at verse 9. Number one, he said, you're a chosen generation. That means that the body of Christ is made up of selected people. Now, I'm not preaching Calvinism here, so don't misunderstand me. It is true that God is a sovereign. That means that He's top of the line. He's the head man. I believe that. So, I believe in the sovereignty of God. But what I don't believe in is that God has picked and chosen some and not others. Mm-hmm. Now, does He know it? Yes. Mm-hmm. The foreknowledge of God is part of His character. Mm-hmm. He knows everything. Mm-hmm. But His Bible, His Word says that whosoever will may come, and that He's not willing that any should perish. Mm-hmm. And when He says, I want all to come to repentance, that's what He means.
Mm-hmm.
So I explain it something like this. When you get to the gate of heaven, it'll say, whosoever will. When you go through the judgment seat of Christ and you go into the gate, when you look back behind you, it'll say, I know you would.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you would.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yeah. Now, that's not Calvinism. Mm-hmm. That's just the foreknowledge of God.
Yes.
And the providence of God. He knows. But if God did not allow anyone the opportunity to be saved, then the whole thing's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And we might as well just shut her down and go home and save $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a selected people. We're selected to serve. You've been saved. You're a chosen generation to serve the Lord. And you're doing that by being here, and I hope you'll do that when you get away from here. We're selected to search. To go out and find, go out in the high. What did the master of the house say to the servants? Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them.
Mm-hmm.
That means bring them in physically, mm-hmm. and in order to do that, you got to find them.
Mm-hmm.
So we are selected. We're chosen to search, to go out here and find them, and say, "Listen, come to God, come to Christ, come to the house of God."
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one thing that we're failing at.
Yeah.
Even here at Anchor.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting folks in here like we should.
Mm-hmm.
But we are selected, chosen to do that. And then, of course, as we've been talking about in our Ephesians 6 and the whole armor of God, we are selected to stand.
Mm-hmm.
That means to take a stand. That means to stand on the Word of God if everybody else says, but we don't agree with that.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't make any difference.
That's right.
Makes no difference. The court and the government says that it's okay for same-sex marriage. Does that make it right?
No.
They also say that it's okay to abort babies. Is that right?
No.
Does that make it right? No. We're not standing on the Constitution.
Mm-mm.
We're standing on the Word of God.
Yes,
we are a chosen... The Bible is the Constitution of the Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it supersedes anything in Washington,
yes.
anything in The Hague, anything, anywhere. I don't care what's wrote down. It can be the Great Charter. I mean, it can be any of those things. But the Bible supersedes all of it.
Yes.
We are a chosen generation. We're a selected people. But also in the body of Christ, it says we are a royal priesthood. Royalty speaks of stately. You know, it speaks of regal. And so we are not just a selected people, but a stately people. We're to carry ourselves, and he talks about that, how that we ought to present ourselves to the Gentile. You know, when you are serving God, you ought to look like that's what you're doing, and act like that's what you're doing, and speak like that's what you're doing. Because we're all, the Bible said, ambassadors for Christ.
Yeah.
We are representing our home country. And it's not America.
Uh-uh.
Right. What did the Bible say? That Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. We are not of this world. We're not citizens. I'm an American citizen in the flesh, But in my soul, I'm a citizen of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I am representing my government.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's no Congress.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Senate.
Right.
There's no Supreme Court.
Mm-mm.
There's no cabinet.
Mm-mm.
There's no electorate.
Mm-mm.
My country that I represent is a benevolent dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
God is in charge, yes. But I'm glad He takes care of His own.
Amen. Amen.
So we are a stately people. That word royal literally means kingly in nature. Well, when we get saved, what happens? We are kingly born. Because we become a child of God. We have kingly blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. The Son of God. We're born royal unto kingly blessings. Doesn't God take care of us?
Yes.
Oh, He does. We are born into and then we're born royal with a kingly betrothal. Because one day, guess who we're going to marry? As the bride of Christ, the body is the bride, we are going to marry the bridegroom who is what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we are selected people. We are stately people. But then look at verse 9 again. We are sanctified people. What does it say there in verse 9? But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. I guess I've probably heard more preaching on holiness and sanctification in the last 6 months than I've heard in many years, and I think it's right.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got away from holy living.
Amen.
We got away from sanctified living. Being set apart for the cause of Christ, the body of Christ is set apart just like you and your wife when you were engaged. You set each other apart by announcing that engagement, saying that from this point forward we are not in a union yet, but that's our goal and we have set each other apart. And I'm for her and she's for me and that's the way it's going to be. I just made that up. I just realized what I just did. As the Lord, I have to give the Lord credit for that. So we are set apart by the Savior. Who sanctifies us? By the washing of the water of the blood. Jesus sanctified. He's the one that sets us apart. And we're also set apart from sin. Didn't say it would never happen, but you don't go around looking for it. You don't wake up looking forward to it. That's what sanctification is. We're saved, we're set apart by the Savior, set apart from sin, and as I mentioned a moment ago, we're set apart for service. For service. To serve Him. So we're selected people in the body of Christ. We are a stately people. We are a sanctified people. Two more and I'm done. Look at verse 9. We're a salvaged people. What do you mean? Well, the Bible said we are a peculiar people. I love watching these shows where they take old junky cars and fix them up. I think I told you that, but I just that's amazing to me. I do not have that talent. I mean, you know, I watch it all the time. Andrew's very smart about that kind of thing. He'll tell me about stuff, and then later he'll say something about it, and I've done forgot every bit of it. You know, I just know where to put the gas. You know, but I love old cars. I like big old cars. Well, one of them had a. How many of y'all remember the 70s Coupe de Ville? I mean, you had to drive to the airport to turn it around. It's so big. Boy, they had one on there and fixed it up. And I said, man, I'd drive. Anderson, did you drive that? I said, man, I'd drive it all day long. Boy, you could put a family of 8 in the back seat. Huh? You'd put 10 more in the trunk. I mean, you'd have a family reunion in that car. And, you know, of course, I grew up in those days when folks drove those, you know. And, buddy, I'm telling you, boy, they fixed one. I said, man, I'd drive that car. Boy, and Andrew, well, we'll drive you in that car. But boy, I just like that. Because you knew it had potential. And then suddenly, there it is. I mean, painted, I mean, like, right out of the factory. Just so beautiful. You know, that's the way God looks at us?
Mm-hmm.
We're a bunch of junk cars.
Mm-hmm.
We're just a bunch of junk. But God saw the potential.
Mm-hmm.
And so guess what He did? He paid for us.
Mm-hmm.
He bought us.
Yes.
Listen, He didn't buy us when we were fixed up.
Mm-mm.
There are a lot of folks say, well, as soon as I can live the life, I'll get saved. That's not what He's looking for.
Mm-mm.
He's looking for junk.
Mm-hmm.
And He can take junk and see the potential
mm-hmm.
and fix it up to where it's just like it came off the showroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the God we serve. He salvaged. We're a salvaged people. We're a purchased possession. We're bought with a price, the Bible tells us.
Mm-hmm.
We're bought for a purpose. Now, there are some people who buy those classic cars to display. Some will buy them to resell and make money off of them. Some will buy them in certain stages of reproduction so they can finish it and then either keep it or make money off of it. And there's always a purpose for doing it. You know, they don't fix them up and then park them in the garage. And even though they may say, that's my baby, if somebody offers you enough money for that baby,
mm-hmm.
that baby's leaving town. You know that's right. So you see, we're bought with a price and for a purpose. God has a plan for each of us. And guess what? We're bought to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
Now the book of James says, we prosper as our soul prospers. God bought us so that we could prosper. And I don't know that there's too many of us in this room right now who are struggling. You know, and everybody's got their things and their issues. I understand that. But I'd have to say that most of us, not all of us in here, have to say that God's taking real good care of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't say taking, I said taking. That means right now. Right now, God's taking good care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that. So, we're a selected people, a stately people, a sanctified people, a salvaged people. Let me give you the last thing in verse 9 and I'm done. We're a showing people. We're a showing people. Look what it says there in verse 9. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we're to show. That word show means to publish good tidings, celebrating as you go. You don't just have good news, you enjoy the good news.
Yes.
I love giving good news. I called Steve yesterday and had some news. So I talked to somebody. I said, Steve, I got good news. I told him about it. He said, okay, what's the bad news? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, usually if there's good news, there's bad news around it somewhere. I said, not this time, Brother Steve. Not this time. The Bible said we're to publish good tidings, celebrating as you go. Not only enjoying the fact that you can get others to Jesus, but celebrating the fact that you're there already.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not pushing people into it without you. You're bringing people into it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's your children or your parents or your immediate family or whoever it is, we ought to celebrate as we publish these good tidings. Show ourselves, it says. We show God's grace. Aren't you glad for the grace of God?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be here without it? No. Would you be saved without it? No. Would you be going to heaven without it? No. We ought to show the grace of God. And then we ought to show the mercy of God. Because along with grace is mercy. Grace says, I'm going to save you. Mercy says, and I'm not going to give you what you deserve. For by grace are you saved through faith. But then I'm glad where it says, but God, who in His infinite mercy. But God! Who is merciful. Aren't you glad that He's merciful?
Amen.
So we're to show His grace, His mercy, and His truth. His truth. Remember those Sanhedrin folks tried to get Peter and them, told them, said, we don't want you to say in the name of Jesus anymore. We don't want you out here preaching that heresy. Said, because it's not the truth. And old Peter said, well, what is truth? Later on, they asked Peter what is truth. He said, let me tell you what truth is. And He gave them the gospel. We ought to show the truth of God. You know, if God's been good to you, don't be afraid to let people see it.
Amen.
And share it. And know about it. And don't be ashamed. And you know, again, you don't have to get up on a soapbox. But listen, if somebody says, "Man, is that a new car you got there? It may not even, it may be used, but it's new to you," and say, "Yeah, look what God gave me." Mm-hmm. They might look kind of funny, like God gave you. Mm-hmm. Well, that opens the door for you to tell them, "Yeah, man, a week ago I didn't even know I could have something like that, but look what God gave me. Mm-hmm. Look at the house God gave me. I mean, it may not be a mansion, but man, it's." I'm telling you what the truth, Judy and I are just, well, we're just in heaven. I mow the yard every week and I just love it. I love it. I get out there and mow that grass and boy, I'm saying, "God, thank you for my yard. Thank you for my yard." Then all of a sudden I say, "Thank you for my dogs." Amen? Not as thankful for them at that moment, but I am thankful for them. But God's been good to all of us, hasn't He?
Amen.
And we belong to the greatest body in the world.
Yeah.
And it's not the United Nations.
Mm-mm.
It's heaven. Aye. The body of Christ. We belong to the greatest body of people. And you see, the thing about it is, we are in the same body with people that we've never met, mm-hmm. who don't even speak our language.
Mm-hmm.
And if we saw them, we couldn't speak their language.
Mm-hmm.
But God speaks all their language. The Holy Ghost uttereth groanings which we cannot utter.
Mm-hmm.
If they're praying in French, God understands that. If they're praying in Russian, God understands that. If they're praying in Chinese, mm-hmm. God understands that. If they're praying in Spanish, God understands.
Mm-hmm.
God understands. We belong to the greatest body of people assembled. And the best thing about it is, wait till we get to heaven and we're together up there.
Yeah.
It's going to start with a marriage supper.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you talk about a reception. You've never been to one like this. Because it's the only one you've ever been to where the bridegroom serves the guests. And I don't know how long that's going to take, but compared to how long we're going to shout and praise Him, that's just a little while. But imagine all the people. Jude and I were talking about this the other day. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to see people there and think, "How'd they get here?" There may be some there that look at us and say, "How did he get here?" But guess what? The sad thing is, there's going to be some who say, "They're not here. How come they're not here? Wait a minute. How come they're? You mean to tell me they're not here?" And you want to be very careful that you're not one of them.
Amen.
And again, not telling you that to make you doubt your salvation. I'm just saying. The Bible said, "Make your calling and election sure."
Yeah, right. That's right.
I would not want to be one that somebody says, "You mean Preacher Rick didn't make it?" And being a preacher doesn't punch your ticket.
Right.
Being a good singer and making albums and CDs doesn't punch your ticket.
Mm-mm.
Being on one of the staff or the boards of the church where you belong doesn't mean that you're getting in.
Mm-mm.
Having saved parents or grandparents doesn't get you in. The only thing that's going to get you in is by belonging to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? By saying, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I repent of my sin. Come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake." And you are instantly part of the body of Christ. And the great thing is that'll never change. For all eternity, it'll never change. But in the process of that, he says, "Now here's what. Now that you belong to this body, here's how I expect you to live.
Mm-hmm.
You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, amen. A peculiar people, a holy nation, and one that shows forth the praises of Him who brought you out of darkness into His marvelous." What a good word for that. Marvelous. Into His marvelous light. Amen? Aren't you glad you belong to a good body?
Aye.
And guess what? Aren't you glad you belong to a good church?
Yes, amen.
Say that again?
Amen.
All right, just checking. Just checking. All right, let's pray. Father, we sure do love You tonight. Lord, we want to thank You publicly that we are in the body of Christ. As a saved, born-again child of God, I'm glad that I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, as the song says. I've been clothed in his likeness, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm part of the family of God.
Amen.
And Lord, I pray that everyone in this room is part of the family of God. If they're not, oh, they're gambling with their soul, but they can be part of the family of God right now. If they'll just come and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my pride. Forgive me of my rebellion. And Lord, save me for Jesus' sake. Then they too can become part of the body of Christ. The greatest body of souls in the entire world ever assembled. And one day, thank God, we'll be assembled on that great getting up morning. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Lord, they've got to make it right now because then it's too late. So I pray, God, if there's one person in this audience that does not know you as their Savior, they'll come and say, Preacher, can you show me how to be saved? I want to be a Christian. We would be tickled to take the Bible and show them how. Lord, others who just maybe just haven't really, really grasped the idea of being in this great body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe they haven't really been grateful for being part of what I think is the greatest church this side of heaven. Not the perfect church. We won't win that one till we get to heaven. Oh, I'm glad to be part of Anchor Baptist Church. And I pray, Father, that your will be done in this invitation, that folks will come, maybe get in this altar, one of the chairs, and just say, Lord, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for letting me be part of the greatest body ever assembled. And they're still being added every day. But one day, the bride, the body, will be complete. The last one will get saved. And when that happens, the rapture of the church will occur. Jesus will come to claim his bride. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So, Father, I pray that no one will leave this place tonight and not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. We love you. Thank you for this time together. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Tim, let's sing.
Well, number 55, 155, let's stand and sing, Have Thy Own Way.
Won't you come? Trust Christ.
Have Thy Own Way.
Come on, the body, there's room. There's room at the cross for you. Thank you for being here tonight, and I hope you'll take the message with you and go out tomorrow and be glad and excited and publish the news, but celebrate as you go about how good God's been to you in your life. Okay? Oh, yeah, that's right. Sit down just a minute. Let me do this real quickly. You want to set that out here? Yeah, put that.
I think it's going to move too much.
That thing? Yeah. Just put it on here? Yeah, that'd be all right. All right, what we're going to do is, and by the way, Tim, it's inside here. Okay. Inside that closet right there. We're going to put that Bible up here for you all to start signing, all right, that we're going to put in the ground. And we'll find to get a pen and just sign your name if you want to put a verse with it. I'm talking, don't write the verse out. I mean the reference. For the verse, you could certainly do that, but we want to make sure there's room for everybody to sign in the front fly leaf of the Bible. We had some pictures taken of the box, the way it's, you know, everything. We'll put those on our website so you can see that. And then at the appropriate time is when we'll actually go out and do this before they pour the concrete slab. All right? So just keep that in mind. All right, the other thing, the chairs. All right? Those are basically the two chairs, or the, now not that color, but those types of chairs. And they're the same price. In fact, within just a few cents of being exactly the same price. They're by two different companies. One is Chairs for Worship. That's the darker one. The lighter colored one is a place called Bertolini. Bertolini's Chair Company. And if you buy a chair from the... No, something like that. It sounds like a restaurant, doesn't it? Anyway, now, let me say that the only difference between these two chairs... Now, first of all, this one's wider, and you can buy them in 18 inches, which is the basic size. But most of us need a little more than that. So you can get them in 20 and 22-inch seats. I think this one is the 22. I believe that's right. So this is basically, if you want to get a bigger than that, you've got to special order them, and they cost like $130 by themselves. But anyway, so we'll probably get the biggest seat, so everybody would be good and comfortable, you know. So this chair would come in this size, so don't want you to feel like, well, that's the only get. The back of the chairs on both of them are exactly the same. They're called an Ergo V back. That means they've got a little bit of curve to them so that the back is not just dead straight. And it's got the little lumbar piece right here so it gets in your back. The only difference between these is this one has 4 inches of padding here but 5 right here. And you see how it's kind of rolled. That's supposed to help your legs. You know, as you sit down and your legs hang over the chair, it's supposed to help you with that. Now, I guess it does. I mean, I've never sat on long enough to know. I do know that there are some people who are short of stature who, when they sit in this chair, their feet don't touch the floor. So that might be a problem for some folks. I don't know. But anyway, that has 4 inches of padding, same type of padding, just doesn't have that 5 inches at the front. And you've sat in them. I've sat on both of them. I have my choice between the two. And so here's what we're going to do. This is chair A. And this is chair B. And you're going to decide which one we want. And we're not getting both. Somebody asked me this morning, can we get one of the other? No, we're not doing that. We're going to get the same for everybody. All right? So, this is it. And if you haven't had a chance to sit in them, it's too late. Yes?
On this chair here, you got a place to put...
Yes, understand, they'll all have book racks underneath. And they will have things on the back for visitors' cards and the Lord's Supper cups. These are sample chairs. They gave these to us for free. I'm really surprised they put a book rack on that one because you have to pay and you have to put them on. So anyway, they'll have book racks on them and they will have the things on the back. But they didn't send us all that, obviously, because it cost extra to do that when you buy the chair. It's in the price, but they didn't want to send us that. Now, one thing, too, you need to understand is that with the book rack underneath, and that's where they put them, you may have been in some churches at some point where they had pouches on the back of the chair, and those are okay, but after about 6 months, they've stretched out so they won't go back, and then it just looks like a big floppy mess. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're going to go with the book rack underneath. Now, the problem is you can't stack them. These, like this, you could stack them like 10 high and store them. You can't stack these because you'll tear up the rack. So what we may do is get enough chairs for the auditorium with racks, and then the ones in the Sunday school classes won't have racks so that they can be stacked and stored. However, okay, so we'll because the ones in the auditorium are basically going to stay there. They're going to be out there, and that's where they're going to be. Okay. All right. Any other questions before we do this? Yes.
Yeah. On that chair right there. Has the hooks on the side with the interlock?
They all have hooks.
Both hooks?
They will. If it's not on that one, I didn't even notice, but they will.
Okay.
They all have those hooks on. So you can hook the chairs together so they won't go everywhere. Okay? All right. All in favor of chair A, raise your hand. All right, count for me, Tim. You count that side, I'll count this side. Let's expedite this. 3. Okay, that makes 20. All right? All in favor of chair B, raise your hand. By the way, it's 21 for this one because this is the one I picked. I just didn't count myself. All right, so wait a minute. B, 1. I got 5. That's 16.
All right, so 20 to 16. The vote was close. But we're going to go with chair A, all right? And so that's what we're... Now, doesn't mean this color, just this type of chair. We hadn't even gotten all that yet. Although I will tell you, as you may know, that the walls of the auditorium may be a little bit darker, Miss Judy, like are going to be basically this color. And they'll have wainscot. They'll be white trim and wainscot. So it may be thoughtful to get a brown or something like that. I'm not saying that's what we're going to do, but I'm just saying to consider that. Same with carpet, because number one, it doesn't show the dirt. The floor underneath where the chairs will be is actually going to be a wood floor, like it was at the other church, because it's much easier to keep clean with all the traffic. So the auditorium, the platform, the aisles, and the back of the church where you would go out through the hallway will be carpet, but where the chairs are will be a wood floor. Okay? So anyway, so just keep that in mind, and we're gonna now some of these things, you know, folks, let me just tell you, it would be number one impossible, number two, it might cause some trouble to try to vote on every single color and every single shade. So you're just going to have to trust us, okay? I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, I mean, we're not going to get, you know, casino carpet or anything like that, so don't worry. But it needs to be good and durable and something that's not going to show a lot of dirt, but that we'll keep clean, and something that's going to last us a while, because it's going to have to last us a while till we get some of that half a mil paid off.
Yeah.
Amen? Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Half a million.
Yeah.
That's a heap of money. Mm-hmm. All right, but that's what we're going to go with. And we'll have the same chairs in the Sunday school classes. Mm-hmm. The only difference is they won't have book racks under them.
Mm-hmm.
So we can stack them and store them and move them without damaging them. But you'll be able to have that same kind of comfortable chair in the Sunday school rooms that we'll have in the auditorium. So we'll probably get somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 to 250 chairs. And that way we can put out what we need, store what we don't need, and so on and so forth. And that ought to last us for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or until we decide or can save the money to get pews, because the pews are actually a little more expensive. You know, if you buy them to match, which we'd love to have done, but we just don't have the money in the budget right now. So that'll be something we can do somewhere down the line, to buy pews and be able to do that, okay? But these will be comfortable, and you'll be more than satisfied to sit in them, okay?
Yeah.
All right, very good. So that's our first major decision. And nobody has gotten up and punched somebody else, so that's good. And nobody's quit the church over it, so far, so good. All right, so that's all we got then. Let's stand to our feet. Where's that? Yeah, put it right here. Please come by and maybe kind of watch. Brother Tim or somebody can keep by. Now, let me say, if the children sign it, and we want everybody to sign it, but, you know, mom and dad, kind of make sure they don't, you know, sign their name on a whole page. You know, make sure they do it in an orderly fashion, but we want everybody to sign it. We'll have in the box the Bible and a hymn book. And that's what we'll put under the pulpit so that everybody will know that our church is built on the Word of God and old-time hymns. Amen?
Amen.
All right. God bless you. You're dismissed. Come on by. I'll leave my pen right here for you to sign it. Just don't steal my pen. That's my good one.
Hey, preacher.
Yeah.
You not going to sign it first?